Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the foe. For this is my country to have and to hold.
Tomorrow, Washington's birthday. There's a new book out about Washington. We haven't seen it yet. There's also another interesting book out about our current controversial man that occupies the White House, Deconstructing Obama. I recommend that you go to your bookstore and get a copy of it. Simon & Schuster is the publisher. It's in hardcover. We haven't got our review copy yet. I know Jack Cash, a prolific writer, does a great, a lot of research on his subject. Excuse me, I still have this bloody cold, but we're still alive. Since we're on the subject of deconstructing Obama and the questions about birthers and all that, it's interesting that this came up in September 2008 when the Democrats were holding their convention, their national convention in Denver, Colorado. And we just happened to catch, and I know French media, Mr. Debray, who I met while covering French TV and others, were covering the international homicide case involving the son of a former French Navy officer, Hugues de la Plaza, that homicide or murder is still unsolved. Anyway, French TV covered the Democratic National Convention. They were covering the Hispanic contingent, and Governor Bill Richardson of New Mexico was there, and he spoke in both English and Spanish, and he said, Barack Obama's an immigrant. He's just like us. Of course, Bill Richardson, his dark skin comes from his South American mother. His Richardson is an aristocratic name, so-called, from Massachusetts. His father, I believe, was a banker who was working in South America, had married a Latina, they're Catholic, and he decided he wanted his son to be born in America. So the woman, his mother, came to Pasadena, California, and that's where Bill Richardson was born. Of course, his father was American, born in the States, and so he would have been an American anyway. But that's not the case with this controversy over Barack Hussein Obama. The issue is, if Bill Richardson was lying, then he owes not only Obama a public apology, but the whole country. There's a lot of people who are upset about this issue. Obama has not helped matters by refusing to release all kinds of documents, but we get back to this issue of so-called people who are questioning the lack of a public certified document from Barack Hussein Obama, who says he was born in Hawaii in Honolulu. Until then, people who are the subject of derogatory by media people, such as the media morons know who they are. But anyway, of course, Juan Williams, who was born in Panama, shouldn't be talking about immigrants and that. He doesn't talk about that he was born in Panama. We don't know if he came here legally or not. Anyway, these people should ask Bill Richardson, why did you make that statement? You were caught on French TV. Did you make a mistake? Did you lie or what? So we need to get this resolved. So I call these people who, media people and others who criticize Tea Party people who did not originate this. They weren't even around then. Bill Richardson is the original birther. And the people in the media and else in politics and elsewhere, average citizens who write these letters to the editor, they're the anti-birthers. So so let's get this resolved so the country can move on. We're in one hell of a mess. One of the other political facts, frauds, and fictions are only women in the military get sexually abused or raped. Rape is rape. It's a crime of violence, whether it's male or female. It's wrong to take advantage of somebody who you think won't resist, can't fight back, and won't report you, and just lay there and take it. But fortunately, women who have been sexually assaulted and raped have not been murdered. At least there are no reported cases that we know about. We've done extensive research on the subject. However, there have been an estimated 10 in California alone of U.S. Marines who have who have been murdered, who have been drugged, mutilated, and murdered, and dumped along the highways of Southern California by this guy Randy Kraft. Stephen Neri would have been another case had he not fought back against an illegal alien, a sexual predator with priors, sexual assaults or sexual propositions in a public toilet in San Jose, California, and a sexual assault in a youth bar, the Palladium, here in San Francisco. But Steve Neri fought back, and so because he fought back against a political ally of the corrupt district attorney at the time, Terrence Hallinan, Steve Neri was railroaded into had a kangaroo court case based on forged documents, concealment of AIDS and other communicable disease, and then defiance of removal to federal court of the case, habeas corpus violations, Eighth Amendment violations, denied medical care for his broken hand sustained in fighting off the rape, still P4A's AIDS status, VD status, tuberculosis, and hepatitis communicable disease status has all been concealed. And then forged destruction of U.S. military mail sent certified with green receipt attached to the envelope. This was accepted, signed for, and then destroyed by the corrupt San Francisco sheriff. So all this is going on. We're going into our 16th year with this case, which has cost the American taxpayer an estimated $15 to $16 million because of all the people involved, and then $10 million for a building to honor a sexual predator, an anti-Semite, a terrorist, a guy who supported terrorism, and was ripping off the HUD poverty program, and of course was in the country illegally. So there are males who suffer much more, and for some reason it's a crime that the media doesn't want to mention its name or the incident or who's involved and why it's covered up. So let's go to a cheerful subject for our 3 minutes. Today is the Jewish Sousa died today, a guy named Edward Franco Goldman. He wrote a famous march called On the Mall, and this is in the archives, so we're going to play it. Since we're in a military frame of mind, here's some famous birthdays today. We have Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, President of Mexico, who was a friend with, David Crockett or one of the guys at the Alamo. And he was President of Mexico, and he was known as Napoleon of Mexico. And he was a dictator, and he was twice president. And he was the general who destroyed the defenders at the Alamo, although there's revisionist history on him and that whole Texas situation, Sam Houston and Stephen Austin. So his birthday is today. He was born in 1794. And then we have famous RAF pilot who was captured, Douglas Bader. He died in a concentration camp, not a concentration camp, but a military POW camp. Then the notorious Robert Mugabe of the Mau Maus, he was born today. Unfortunately, he's still around. And then, let's see, who else we have? Among the deaths today, the Pope who was a warrior Pope, Julius II. See that famous movie Michelangelo? And Rex Harrison plays the Pope, and this is dealing with the construction of and the painting of the frescoes in St. Peter's Basilica, the world's largest church in Rome. And then this is a little-known guy. I just came across him, Edward Despard. He was a Protestant Irishman who joined the British Army and then went to Jamaica, married a black woman, had a son. This was unprecedented at the time. He was tried for treason because he supported political reform in Ireland, and he was railroaded into jail, into a British prison. He was denied habeas corpus for 3 years, abused in every which way. He was sentenced because he was tried for treason in a rigged trial. He was sentenced to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. And this was the last such sentence in British jurisprudence. We'll get into this another day because this guy is fascinating. And he's in the same category as William Wallace of Scotland. And then we have today, let's see, the other famous birthdays. I mentioned Goldwyn, or no, who died today. And then another great composer who wrote When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again, Morton Gould, died today. Malcolm X was assassinated today. None of the famous events today. We had, this is also a famous opera, Boris Godunov, probably one of the most popular. He was crowned Tsar of Russia in 1598. And then we had in 1792 the Presidential Succession Act. This is going to be very interesting because some people think that Mr. Roe is going may resign. Or, I don't think even if he runs for a second term that he will get that. And then this is interesting. There's some interesting things. The first sewing machine patent was issued today. The first electric burglar alarm was installed in, of all places, Boston, Massachusetts. And then since this is Black History Month, the first Catholic black church for blacks was dedicated in Baltimore. The first telephone directory, you had 50 names in it, that was published in New Haven, Connecticut. The first brain operation by Dr. Cushing occurred in 1902. The first Army War College building was built in 1903 in Washington. Then the notorious Battle of Verdun in World War I. They had the Holy Road. It was something. It's quite experience. I drove on that road at night. I could hear the moaning of the dead. It nearly bled France to death. But General Marshal Petain defeated the Germans there, and that one of the turning points of World War I. Then the British granted Egypt independence. We got to get into this some more. This was 1922. So they had a king named Farouk, a big fat slob who liked women and dissipated living. He should have taken Alka-Seltzer, because that one, maybe he did, because that was invented in 1931. We had the famous Nicaraguan patriot. His name has come up in these terrorist cases, Cesar Sandero. He was assassinated today. And then we had, So the other thing is, among the other myths that we have about political fictions, is that the affordable housing that is paid for by the federal government, a lot of people don't know this, that there are site acquisition grants, building construction grants, Section 8 subsidized rents grants. If they buy a building, a site that has a building on it and needs rehab, there's money for that. The housing developer, these are limited liability corporations, usually has been set up often by these politically connected people or city employees, such as in San Francisco, or ex-HUD people. And they have to keep the rents affordable for about 20 years. And then after 20 years, they can revert to market rates, kick everybody out and tear everything down and turn it into co-ops or condos or whatever else. But the American taxpayer pays for it, but never owns it. So this is something that we've got to bring out. Now, Jack Cashel, who I talk about often, worked for the Kansas City Housing Authority and knew about all the scandals there. I recommend his other book, What's the Matter with California? Because one of the problems with California is that the government started the public housing program to house people who couldn't afford to get a mortgage for private housing, or couldn't get other type of housing or rental housing. So public housing was set up for poor people and new immigrants who came here. But the real estate racketeers and corrupt politicians who ran the local city's housing authority programs have let that housing deteriorate because it was on valuable land, especially in the inner city. And so gentrification had happened in Chicago, it's happened in San Francisco, it happened in Washington, D.C. You've seen the pictures of the Igo Pruitt project in St. Louis being blown up. So all these things have happened, but the government has paid for all this housing. Geneva Towers here in San Francisco had some of the best views in the city, was well-built, but the San Francisco Housing Authority, one of the most corrupt, inefficient, and unethical in the whole history of the public housing federal program, let that project deteriorate. The urine in the hallways, the elevators are full of crap, but it had it was solidly built, had a great, magnificent, 360 view of the city of San Francisco, panoramic view, and housing was inexpensive. But this is what happens because people in the media also cover up these violations. In fact, a few of them, especially one in the Steve Neri case, who worked for the Recorder, a guy named Dennis Opechany, or Dirty Dennis, got a subsidized condo at below market rates. We'll show the condo in the documents coming up. And he did a hit piece in the Recorder, a legal news reporting paper. He did this hit piece on Steve Neri back in September 1999. When he was exposed for getting this condo from the former district attorney, who was a supervisor at the time, before he became district attorney of San Francisco, when we mentioned this, he managed to sell his condo. We don't know where he is, and nobody cares. Excuse me. Let's see what else. So among the interviews coming up will be with Rich Modisco, whose his ancestors were part of the negotiating team that the American side that bought the Alaska. And he's in real estate. His wife's in real estate. His son's a cop. His father was assistant district attorney. Interesting family, and we're going to get into how cops profile people. Other interviews is, we have out of the archives, we have a huge archives from Western Public Radio and KALW over our years in interviews that were done in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and the United States, and were processed at Western Public Radio here in San Francisco and KALW, and then the Verzola Carson Historical Audio-Visual Archives. And we have about, I'd say close to nearly 3,000 recordings audio and visual, and a lot of historical stuff. So we're still cataloging and all that. And I think this one's appropriate, this interview that we did with the stockbroker. It's appropriate for what's going on in the stock market. And where the heck is it? Excuse me. Still this bloody cold. It's coming up here. Where is she? We're going to continue with our great orators and oratory series, because we don't hear that today. We hear demagogues. We don't hear orators. But here it is, stockbrokers, animal analogies in the stock market.
With the new leader in the Soviet Union.
Uh-oh, that's wrong. I have something wrong there. Something went wrong. I'll have to do that another day, and I'm going to pull that down. There's a mistake on that. But anyway, we have a lot of stuff coming up, and we'll continue with our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Friday we'll have the best of the week and the new interviews, new stuff, and we'll continue with our historic date, births, deaths, events, and how they relate to things that are going on today. It's particularly interesting that England... the British and the French were involved in the building of the Suez Canal. A guy named Ferdinand de Sleps, he successfully built that canal, and that cut the time the ships had to go around the South Africa to get to Asia, and that cut it in half, saved a lot of money. Then he tried the Panama Canal and to build a canal through Panama, but Juan Williams wasn't around at that time, I don't think. He didn't deal with the diseases and the mosquito problem, the yellow fever, whereas the Americans took the environmental approach, and that's the first thing they went after to make the environment safe for the workers who were imported from Jamaica, I believe. But anyway, the British granted Egypt independence in 1922, but yet they had this king, and then there was also the British French-Israeli war with Nasser during the 50s when he tried to block, I think, the Suez Canal from them using it. And then also he didn't get the financing for the Aswan Dam, and so he sought it from Moscow. So a lot of fascinating things have gone on with the British. And, of course, in World War II, General Field Marshal Rommel was always trying to get to Cairo. And in fact, there's a couple of movies, the one with Franchot Tone called Five Graves to Cairo, and what it was about was these fuel dumps buried in the desert. So as Rommel advances, since he advanced further than his supply line could keep up with him, they had set up these fuel dumps buried under the sand, and this was a kind of a British espionage film. And so they blew up, they discovered where the fuel dumps were and destroyed them so that Rommel didn't have the gas, the petrol, for his tank, so they could get to Alexandria and Cairo. And it was always the fear that the Africa Corps would get into Egypt and get a foothold there. They were in Libya. There's another movie that's very relevant today with Anthony Quinn, an Italian actor, I forgot, who played Berber, who was a freedom fighter, and was trying to kick the Italians out, and they captured this guy, put him on trial, and then hung him. But the Mussolini always claimed that the Romans had been in North Africa from the time of Caesar and all of that. So let me get the title of that movie. It's an interesting movie, historical, and it's fairly accurate. In fact, the Italians claimed that they were the first ones to use tanks in the desert, unlike the popular misconception that Field Marshal Rommel was the first one to use tanks in the desert. But it turned out it was the Italians. And, of course, so they were fighting against tribesmen on horses with ancient guns, no cannon or machine guns or airplanes or tanks. So much for that. So let us end with our usual theme, which is very appropriate because that's the way politics used to be played, and in many ways, it's still, politics is still negotiated this way today.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game in rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little phrase, good as gold.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
Well, we didn't stack the deck. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Good night, and we'll be back Wednesday.